Fenn was enchanted by the art of casting for a person across the ether. "Oh, Taita, I never dreamt it was possible. Please teach me to do it."
"First you must learn your own spirit name."
"I think I know it," she replied. "You called me by it once, did you not? Or was it a dream, Taita?"
"Dreams and reality often blend and become one, Fenn. What is the name you remember?"
"Child of the water," she replied diffidently. "Lostris."
Taita stared at her in amazement. She was unconsciously demonstrating her psychic powers as seldom before. She had managed to reach back into the other life. Excitement and elation made his breathing quicken.
"Do you know the symbol of your spirit name, Fenn?"
"No, I have never seen it," she whispered.
"Or have I, Taita?"
"Hold it in the forefront of your mind." She closed her eyes and reached instinctively for the talisman that hung at her throat.
"Do you have it in your mind?" he asked gently.
"I have it," she whispered, and he opened his inner eye. Her aura was a dazzling brilliance that cloaked her from head to foot, and the symbol of her spirit name hung over her head, etched in the same celestial fire. "The shape of the nymphaea flower, the water lily," he thought. "It is complete. She has come into full bloom, like her spirit symbol. Even in childhood she has become an adept of the first water." Aloud he said to her, "Fenn, your mind and spirit are fully prepared. You are ready to learn everything I can teach you, and perhaps more than that."
"Then teach me to cast upon the ether, and to reach you even when great distances separate us."
"We will begin at once," he said. "I already have something of yours."
"What is it? Where?" she asked eagerly.
In reply, he touched the periapt that hung around his neck.
"Show me," she demanded,
and he opened the locket to reveal the coil of hair it contained.
"Hair," she said, "but not mine."
She touched it with her forefinger.
"This is the hair of an old lady, see? There are grey strands mixed with the gold."
"You were old when I cut it from your head," he agreed. "You were already dead. You were lying upon the embalming table, cold and stark." She shuddered with delicious horror.
"Was that in the other life?" she asked. "Tell me about it. Who was I?"
"It will take me a lifetime to tell it all," he said. "But let me start by saying that you were the woman I loved, even as I love you now." She groped for his hand, blinded by tears.
"You have something of mine," she whispered. "Now I need something of yours."
She reached up into his beard and twisted a thick strand around her finger.
"Your beard struck me when you pursued me on the first day we met. It shines like purest silver."
She drew the small, sharp bronze dagger from the sheath on her girdle and cut the strand close to the skin, then lifted it to her nose and smelt it as though it were a fragrant blossom.
"It is your smell, Taita, your very essence."
"I will make you a locket to keep it in." She laughed with pleasure.
"Yes, I'd like that. But you must have the hair of the living child to go with that of the dead woman."
She reached up, cut a lock from her head and offered it to him. He coiled it carefully and placed it in the compartment of the periapt, on top of the lock that had lain there for more than 70 years.
"Will I always be able to summon you?" Fenn said.
"Yes, and I you," Taita agreed. "But first I must teach you how." Over the days that followed, they practiced the art. They started by sitting within sight of each other, but out of earshot. Within hours, she was able to receive the images he placed in her mind and respond with images of her own. When they had it perfected, they turned their backs upon each other so that they were out of eye contact. Finally, Taita left her in the camp and rode several leagues west along the lakeshore in the company of Merin. From there, he reached her with his first attempt. Each time he cast, she struck more readily, and the images she presented to him were crisper and more complete. For him, she wore her symbol on her forehead, and after many attempts, she could change the colour of the lily to suit her fancy, from rose to lilac to scarlet. At night she lay close to him for protection on her sleeping mat, and before she fell asleep she whispered, "Now we will never be parted again, for I can find you wherever you go."